Hello and welcome to the Oxygenatic Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. You can personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so you perform at your best with 15% off your first order of electrolytes and carbohydrate fuel with the code OXYGEN24 at Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Coach Rob Wilby, and every week we bring you an episode of this podcast to help motivate and inspire you for your triathlon goals for this season. Listen, a couple of quick things you could do for us before we jump into today's episode. If you do like this episode, please consider following us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could like and subscribe, that would really help out the growth of the show. It helps the show get shown to more people by the algorithm on the podcast players and on YouTube. So we'd really, really appreciate that. And secondly, if you're looking for help and advice with your triathlon training, please consider getting in touch with us. You can read all about what we offer at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then you can email us at help@oxygenaddict.com. Or there's a link in the show notes to book a call with me or one of the coaching team. We can discuss how we can best help you out with your triathlon goals for this season. Okay, on this episode, I'm going to be talking about the three biggest mistakes that I see triathletes making in their swim training, especially if they're training for 70.3 or Ironman distance triathlon. So the first and the by far the biggest mistake that I see people making in their swim training is the thought that just trying harder in swimming is going to make you faster. And that just doing more training, just doing more laps is going to make you a faster swimmer. And it's a belief that's held over. I think a lot of triathletes come into the sport through a running background or a cycling background. People who come in from a swimming background definitely don't make this mistake. But it's really common with cyclists and with runners or people from that background. Because in those sports, just doing more work, just training more, just increasing the volume, just trying harder does make you faster. It does give you a guaranteed return on your investment. And unfortunately, swimming just isn't like that. I say unfortunately, it isn't unfortunate actually, but it's a different way of thinking about things. So typically what I would see as a swim coach on swim deck, I would see an athlete come to a tri club swim session from a running background, say. Obviously, a very fit person. They've got low body fat. They're in great shape. They're doing great times on the running track. They get into the pool and they're absolutely exhausted after 25 meters or 50 meters. Really, really out of breath. They have to stop, bent over, you know, head on the hands, really, really, really gasping for breath. They get themselves together again and they go again. And almost mentally, it comes across like this session to them is the equivalent of a set of 200 meter repeats on the running track or 400 meter repeats on the running track or 1 minute VO2 max repeats on the bike turbo trainer. And what they're really shocked and they don't like it at all, the fact that they work out that this kind of swim training doesn't actually translate to any gains in their swim speed. They're working really hard, but they're not actually getting any fitter and they're not seeing their 100 meter repeat times come down, unfortunately. And the reason for this is both really easy to understand and also at the same time, completely counterintuitive. And it's that swimming has a lot more in common with golf or with tennis than it does with running or with cycling. It's a very skill-based sport rather than a fitness-based sport. And although there's a very large fitness component to it, without the skill element, you're never going to be able to apply force to the water. And so you're never going to be able to get speed through the water, regardless of how fit you may be cardiovascularly from running or cycling or any other sport. It's not going to translate to speed through the water until the body learns the skill of connecting and applying force to the water in a way that moves the body through the water in a meaningful way. And so runners and cyclists who come into triathlon are often amazed that swim sets include so much technique work. And often they'll say to the coach, you know, can we just get through the drill set? Can we just get onto the main part of this? Can we do the real interval training, the bit that's going to make me fitter? And while that might be true in, or truer at least, in cycling or in running, it absolutely isn't true in swimming. And so the thing to get your head around if you're in this position is that think of your body like a boat in the water. When you first start to swim, you don't even really have a boat. You've got a solid block of wood. And what you want to be doing is using the technique training to gradually carve away pieces of this very inefficient block of wood to make it gradually more streamlined and gradually more shaped, like firstly like a boat, and then like a sailboat, and then like a speedboat, so that you can move that speedboat through the water with speed. I think that's the way to think of it. The technique training and the drills and the technique sessions that you'll do are going to teach your body to apply that fitness in the forms of force to the water. It's going to teach you to balance your body in the water better, so you move through the water more efficiently, and therefore you'll move through the water faster for the same or even less effort. So that's the first big mistake, thinking that just trying hard or just trying harder is going to translate to faster swim times in the water. And unfortunately, it's not. You have to dedicate yourself to doing, if you like, you have to do the right drill sets for your body and your stroke flaws to mean that you get rid of your stroke flaws, and to mean that you can then translate this into practicing perfect form. And I think that's the takeaway from this, is that in swimming, practice doesn't make perfect, practice makes permanent. And what you need to be doing is practicing perfect technique to make that perfect technique permanent. If you are just doing more and more laps, all you're doing is you're embedding in your muscle memory the incorrect technique, and you're going to have to undo that at some point. So right from the outset, dedicate that swimming time that you've got to improving your technique, so that then any fitness training you do is practicing and embedding that improved or that perfect technique. A really good way to do this is to go online, watch videos of really good swimmers doing this. I'll point you towards the Swim Smooth website, the Swim Smooth YouTube channel. They've got tons of great examples on there, filmed above the water, below the water, from the side, of what a really perfect swimmer looks like. And you can then embed that idea in your brain, and you can then go away and try and copy that. And another tip just before we finish, mistake number one, if you can get permission and get somebody to film you swimming, ideally below the water and from the side as well, but even if you can just see a video of yourself swimming, athletes are often really amazed what they actually look like and how far away from what they think they should look like they actually look like. And that in itself can be very, very revealing. Just seeing a video of yourself and thinking, right, well, I've looked at this video on the Swim Smooth channel and I know what I should look like in the water. This is what I actually look like. Let's see if we can start to change the stroke so that my current stroke looks more like the stroke of the really good swimmer. Okay, tip number two, or mistake number two that I see athletes making, is swimming continuously all the time and thinking that the goal of swim training is to be able to swim continuously as soon as possible. So again, this is often carried over for triathletes from a running background or from a cycling background. It kind of makes sense that you've come from doing your long Sunday ride or your long Sunday run, and you know you've got to do a long swim as part of your 70.3 or Ironman. So you should start to try to build that up as soon as possible. And we want to, you know, the myth is we want to get to be able to swim 1,000 meters, 2,000 meters, 4,000 meters continuously. And while there is a place for that, and there's definitely going to be a time in your training where you'll need to do those long continuous sessions, you can afford to think of those as the last block of sessions before your goal race. And depending on how far you are away from your goal race, all the other training needs to be done very differently. And what I would suggest is, if you're currently doing a really long continuous swim, you've got more to gain by breaking that swim up into repeated 100 meters. So let's say you can currently swim 1,000 meters as an example as your long swim. You will improve your swimming faster by breaking that 1,000 meters up into 10 repetitions of 100 meters and have like a 3 to 5 second break at the end of the 100 and then go again. And the aim isn't to turn this into an interval set where you try hard and you recover. I still want you swimming at your endurance pace, but I want you to just break that up with a 3 to 5 second break. And typically with my athletes, I get them to just stand up in the shallow end, take 3 really deep yoga breaths, and off they go again. And the benefit of this is a lot of the small muscles in the shoulders, in the back, in the linking of the arm and the back muscles around here, a lot of these smaller muscles are the ones that fatigue the fastest and fatigue soonest. And if you can give them a little break, if you like, what you're doing is you're resetting your technique. You're allowing your body to have that micro recovery, and then it allows you to swim with certainly with better form and as close to perfect form as you can. That little break is magic in just allowing your body to have a little reset, those little tiny muscles that are suffering the most to recover and then go again. And in an ideal world, what you're looking for in this previously continuous swim that you're now breaking up into 100 meter repeat is to come in on the same exact time every time. So let's say you would swim 1,000 meters in 20 minutes. What you will probably find is that the earlier reps of the hundreds would be much faster. They might be 145 or 150 and gradually slow down and tail off so that the last 5 might be 205. That's not what we want. What we want you to do in an ideal world is to come in on 157, 158 each time, take that 3 second break, and go again and come back in again on 157, 158. And the benefit of this is twofold. Firstly, there's that physical benefit we talked about that you'll have that little micro break. You'll be swimming with better or more perfect form for longer. But also mentally, you're learning that you can come in and you can hit those repeats every time and you'll gain an awful lot of confidence from doing it that way as well. So that's my tip for you. Break your continuous swim up into repeats of 100 meters and get confident that in the early days, you can repeat these and you can build that setup. And we will have you do some continuous swims, but not until you're much closer, typically in the 4 to 6 weeks before your goal A race of the season. That's when we'll switch over to doing those continuous swims. Okay, now the third mistake that I see triathletes making with their swim training is not knowing what their training paces are, not even really being aware that there is a range of paces you can swim at, and just kind of swimming and coming in at the end of the rep on whatever the clock happens to say at the end of that. And again, it's really hard for people from a running or from a cycling background to get the head around swim paces. So we'll put a little framework on this for you. You can do a test called the CSS test, which involves doing a 400 meter time trial, a 200 meter time trial, and then plugging the results of those into a calculator, and it will give you your CSS pace. And to give you an idea of what that's relative to, it's like threshold pace for swimming or threshold pace for running or FTP on the bike. It's that kind of number. Your CSS pace is what you can probably hold in about a 30 minute time trial on your own in the pool. Once you know what your CSS pace is, you can then define a range of paces relative to that. And each of your swims should be exactly targeted at one of those specific paces for a specific reason. So just like you would go out and do an endurance run at E-pace or an endurance ride at a specific percentage of your FTP, I would have you doing your swim sessions at a specific range relative to your CSS. So for most people, think of it as CSS pace itself is your threshold type swims. So you'll be doing 1 to 400 meter reps at your CSS pace. But then for 70.3 athletes, CSS plus 4 seconds per 100 is going to be about your race day pace for 70.3. CSS plus about 8 seconds 100 is going to be your race day pace for Ironman distance racing. So that gives you a kind of reading on the sort of pace you should be swimming at relative to your own current swim fitness as measured by a CSS test. And lots of people don't do the test because honestly, they're afraid of what the answer is going to say. So I'd encourage you, don't think of the test as a pass or fail. Have I got better at swimming or not? Should I do this test or not? the reason that you're doing it is it will then inform and underpin every single one of the swim sessions that you're going to do coming up, because you want to be able to have something to measure your pace against and make it relevant and relative to. Okay, then. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. So here are some discount codes and deals for you. Over at precisionfuelandhydration.com, use the code OXYGEN24 for 15% off your first electrolyte order. And over at teamoxygenaddict.com, I think we've got the most comprehensive triathlon coaching program for busy age groupers. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and the advice has helped you out, well, great stuff. I hope that's helped put some of your fears at rest. And I know from some of the calls we've had, it's helping raise the right questions in the minds of people as to whether their current coaching relationship is working for them. If you're looking for a change, or if you're looking for high quality, proven coaching for Ironman or 70.3 triathlon this year, you can just check out the details of our coaching packages on our website at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes below. You can join our waiting list and you'll be notified if a slot becomes available. And at that point, you'll have a chance to book a call with us and see if you'd be a good fit for joining the team. So although we don't have slots available at the moment, we'll make those call appointments available to people as and when we do have athletes who end their coaching packages during the season, if and when that happens. So remember, there's links in the show notes, so you don't have to remember them. Till next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Podcast. See ya.